Hey, I don't have another message. So this is a time, it's called a free-for-all, whatever you want to call it. But questions that might have been stirred up in you in the last session or in your last date. These guys date? Hey, this is time to, you know, if I don't have the answers, Max does. You know, in 1 Peter, it says, it tells the husbands to treat the women as the weaker sex, or, let's see, as a weaker partner, treat them with respect as if the weaker partner. Be considerate of them. Because he says they are heirs with you, they're equals. What does it mean to be considerate? What does it mean to treat with respect? And I think, there's little things, guys, that we do that turn off a woman. It may just be a comment. I'll never forget. I hope I never forget. We'd been married for, probably 7-8 years. And we were on vacation in California, visiting some friends of ours there. The setting a little bit. He was the vice president of McDonnell Douglas Aircraft there in Long Beach. We were at their home. They were good friends of ours, but still, I think there was a little bit of uneasiness on my part. We're at the dinner table, and I made some comment that was a little on the derogatory side, and not intentionally, but it belittled Dee. And it really hurt. I didn't think of it that much. It wasn't intended that way. After dinner, we went into the room there. We stayed with this family. And Dee was a stuffer, she said. She was cold, didn't say anything. And I thought, what did I do? And I couldn't figure out what in the world I'd done. But she was hurt. I was there with our friends. I had said something that she took as belittling. Little comments. And we often do that when we don't know what else to say. Or we want some attention. Or we want conversation. They don't like it. They may not say anything. But it hurts. And they'll back off. They may do as Dee did. She really has. She's grown tremendously in this regard. Just say nothing. So when he says here to treat them with respect, say things that build up. We should always do that anyhow. See, as I read out of Ephesians 5 in here, said that his words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. To bring the best out of her. Particular work then. It takes thinking. It takes respect of her or of the girls. And we can't afford to be sarcastic. That used to be terrible at that. remember once when I lived in an AFT home and things weren't going. The guys were doing the dishes one night. And they weren't going as fast as I thought they should, and I made some sarcastic remark. One of the guys called me on it, and I said, I'm just kidding. He says, Hal, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what? I have never forgotten it. In fact, I hadn't seen this guy for probably 20 years or more. And I saw him a couple of years ago and shared that with him because I appreciate it so much. A friend loves at all times. A friend will tell you when you're blowing. So, be considerate. Guys, it's old-fashioned. It's old-fashioned to help a girl put her coat on. It's old-fashioned to open the door. Or is it? That's one of the things that I learned when I lived in that home, to be considerate of the young ladies. And we were in a wedding. Oh, we'd been married for probably 15 years or more. And a wedding, and at the wedding, at the reception, they had a what's his deal called? When the husbands are hidden, the wives give an answer what the husband would say. Newlyweds. And so one of the questions they asked the wives was how often, what percentage of time does a husband open the car door for you? Your husband open the car door for you. And so Dee gave her answer. They came in, so they said, How would Dee answer that? Said, well, 80%? I think I said 75 or 80. Dee said, if I remember right, 95%, if not 100%. That meant a lot to her. And it still does today. Now, one of the hard things in this, guys, is we're slow. Remember Dee said I was slow? And we talk about this. And if for some reason she's not going to wait for me, she will mention it ahead of time. She says, you know, since we're kind of in a hurry here, is it okay if I wouldn't open the door, get out myself? But as a rule, she's expecting me to be there. Now, she learned that. She learned to be a woman. And we can help them and train them in that. But we've got to take initiative. And just to say if it's on a date, say, Mary, won't you wait? I'll open the car door for you. So as you get out, go around. Now, the self-sufficient woman won't do that. Or the independent won't do that. But they need to train. But those are just some little areas of being considerate, being thoughtful. And those things will come out of the heart, and it will develop. Little things like that will help to develop that area of being considerate and thoughtful. And when it comes to marriage, guys, the little things are what count. Little things. Any questions? I can go on and on. That's how we learn. Question, how do we learn where we are different, our personalities, our traits? Like for Dee and I, we didn't know that at the beginning. I mean, I knew that she was, you know, a pusher, and you know, she didn't wait. That became very evident early in our marriage. But how do you learn these things? Well, for one thing, in premarital counseling, or usually a good counselor at least, will give some tests in there. We'll go over differences. And so you can learn that. When we do premarital counseling, we use a book called Before You Say I Do. You familiar with that? And in there, it has just a lot of different background. How were your parents the same? How were your parents different? And so you learn those things. That's one way of learning them. Dialogue, talk. And guys, one of the biggest hindrances to communication, to dialogue, when you're dating and becoming friends, you know what one of the biggest hindrances is to that? You have any idea? The physical relationship. What? Yes. Yes. See, when we become physical in our relationship with a woman, with a girl, in our dating, that takes preeminence over everything else. And you don't develop in your intellectual relationship. You don't develop as friends. Your communication, it's stilted. One of the things that Dee and I are very, very grateful for is those 2 years that we lived together before we married in the Nav home. I'll say that. But we couldn't date in the Nav. There's a hard and fast rule. No dating, no communicating of interest in one another. 2 years. And after she was there for not very many months, I was very much attracted to her. And I had to watch my step, watch what I said, watch what I did. So I did not communicate an attraction to her. And it was mutual. And oftentimes, by the way, guys, as I share this, it's not me. It's grace. God's grace. But we would go to, we lived in South Pasadena. We drove to Pasadena, California for church. About a 20-minute drive. Sunday mornings, there would be 2 or 3 car loads of us that would go up there. Sunday evening, oftentimes it was just Dee and I. So we would drive this old rickety car up there. She would drop me off at my church, and she'd go on to her church. And many a time, when she'd pull up in front of my church, I'd drive and pull up there, I'd want to say, Dee, why don't we go out for a Coke? But I couldn't. But that's what I like to do. After we were married, we talked about some of these things. She said, I thought the same thing. But neither of us communicated in any way that attraction to one another. Now that's grace. When we announced our engagement, my roommate was out of town, and we announced on Saturday night, Dee and the Nav wife went out to the airport to pick up Tommy, my roommate, and Mary Foster, the Nav wife, said, Dee, show Tommy what you got. So she showed him his diamond. He says, wow, where'd you get that? And Tommy, or Marion says, let's let him guess. Well, after he guessed about three names of other guys, Dee was kind of embarrassed. But see, my own roommate didn't even know. I had shared it with one guy in the home, and I regretted it because he kept bugging me at times. And but the thing I want to point out is that we became the best of friends. The best of friends. And Dee will tell you that Hal was my best friend and is my best friend. Because we were able to relate without this distraction, you might say, of the romance. We became very good friends. You ever hear a guy say, boy, or you might say to someone, boy, Bill, you know, have you ever thought of dating Mary? So you seem to be such good friends. And Bill's response is, well, that's just it. We're just good friends. Like, I got a guy back in Ohio. He and this gal are real good friends. Now, this guy had been dating a girl, and she's got tired of waiting for him. He was slower than me. And now she's engaged to be married to another guy. And I thought, in fact, I talked to him. I says, hey, how about this gal here? And his response was, well, you know, we're really good friends, but that's it. Hey, guys, that's one of the keys to a good marriage, is being good friends. Now, there needs to be the romance and attraction there, but good friendship. Our marriage went through the hard times. I mean, we had some really hard times, but they went through there because of God's grace and because we were good friends. But when you get into the physical relationship, it's easy to lose the dialogue in developing relationship, friendship. It's fun though, isn't it?
And also, I had a question about
Very good question. How do we as men in a dating relationship particularly, how do we take the lead spiritually? Before I answer that, let me just back and just make those comments you made so it gets on the tape. The comment was that even holding hands changes the relationship. It's a change in chemistry, as I think of it, of the relationship. Or the little kiss. There's something there that just changes. And as I work with young guys, and I worked with a lot through the years on the campus and here, and just getting them to wait on the physical, get to know one another, really get to know one another. There's plenty of time down the road for the physical, plenty. But if you move into the physical, you're going to miss on the most important part of the relationship. And guys, I know that's hard because you think, she wants me to hold her hand. I remember this one couple, a guy and a gal that were involved in our ministry. They were out of college for 2 or 3, 4 years. And the guy came to me and he said, Sherry and I are going to start dating. He says, I'm really interested in her. Well, I said, good. I says, how'd they come about? They were working with a junior high group, and they'd gone to a basketball game out of town. They were coming back, and he said, "We're coming back." And he says, "I just reached over and held her hand." You know what that does for a woman? Boy, that's just like shock. And that was the first expression of interest. It was a physical. And I tell you, I as I talked with him, as I counseled them, and because of another experience the guy had in the past, I was pretty hard on him. Pretty hard. He still loves me today, I think. And their marriage is going. It's going well. But that's not the way to get started. The spiritual. That's a hard one. I think it's good to pray together, but let's don't get into deep issues of your life, of sharing your life. Share just, in a sense, for a while, just surface issues. Maybe if you're dating and say Bill and Mary, and so Bill says to Mary, or ask her, say, I know you're working with one of the girls in your dorm. How's she doing? What are you doing with her? Share what you're doing with other people. Your heart comes out in that. Your interest comes out in that. And I think if God, you know, just puts a seal on your relationship as it begins to grow, you might share a verse that you're memorizing. You might share something from your Bible study. But don't go into deep issues right away. Before date, yes, it's good to pray. And here again, guard your prayer. You know, I say pray with wisdom. Pray with common sense. I was reading in Proverbs this morning. In the first few chapters, it talks a lot in the Living Bible. It uses the word common sense. Wisdom and common sense. Seek those two things. Let those be your goal. So a lot of it is just common sense. That makes sense? Does that help a little bit? Yeah, a little bit. Okay, if you're praying, say it's a date, and you just say, Mary, I'd like to just pray together, you know, before we go out. So, you know, you picked her up, she's in your car, and you pray. And just say, Lord, thanks for this time that we have together tonight. And help us keep our focus on you. And help us to really have a good time of getting to know one another. And, you know, whatever you're going to do, just say, you know, help us to really enjoy doing this and just have fun doing it. Amen. So that's the first step. You know what she's going to say? This guy is spiritual. She's had dates with John and Jack and Bill and George. And they never did that. But see what I mean? Keep it simple. Keep it with what's going on right now. And, you know, you might have a date with her a couple weeks later, and you might pray basically the same thing. Maybe in between there's some interaction. After you've talked a little bit about Mary, let's say, is witnessing to Jane. Just say, maybe you've talked about that on your date. At the end of it, you might just pray. And say, Lord, thanks for the good time. And give Mary wisdom as she reaches out to Jane. Help her to be a positive witness to her. See, once you get down to deep issues in life, there's just something that pulls you together that it may be premature. Do you hear what I'm saying? But that's just, and let it grow. Let me mention one other thing. As I talked about the physical, I'm sure that Max or your group leader probably gets into this, but guys, this is very, very important. That when you get into where it's more than just a casual date, but it's a mutual interest, when you get into that, even before that, you have accountability with someone else who's going to say, Bill, how'd it go? How was your date last night? You want that. And then as it gets further, you set the boundaries on the physical relationship. Or standards. And whatever they be, that, you know, now we're going to talk. No physical touch, no hand holding, no nothing. And we may pray together, and these are the things we're going to do. When you do come to the place that you're going to go hold hands, it doesn't happen by default. What do you mean by that? You're driving back and you're chilling. That's by default. You by the way, you talk about these together. And then you might say, Mary, you know, I feel like God is really bringing us together, et cetera, et cetera. And how would you feel about just holding hands? Now, some people think, that's stupid. Well, let him say that. In Proverbs, it talks, he says, son, listen to what I have to say. There's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. A lot to learn. And guys, that's a small thing. But the reason I encourage that is because it's extremely important. Because you don't want, you're going to an office to work and you have a young, attractive secretary. You don't want your wife. Thank you. I've been involved in a lot of weddings, and one of the things I share, if I'm giving the charge, is three things that I endeavor to do every day in my marriage. And this helps me to keep the focus on the little things, because I, being involved in weddings, you know, kind of right along, and it's kind of a reminder. But every day to tell her I love her. Every day to do something nice for her, and every day to compliment her. Now, you can put this in your own setting, this concept, in dating. But the complimenting, hey, that's a little thing that goes a long ways. The doing little things. I mean, the little thing I do for Dee might be, Honey, let me clean out the sink tonight. I'll take care of the dishes. Or emptying the trash basket. That's not exactly her job or my job, but who does it the most? Usually the wife. But I'll empty it. Helping in little things around the home. And she's aware of it. Turning back to bed at night. You know, she's aware of it. Now, in a dating relationship, what can you do? Open the car door. Have some little gift from time to time. Notes. Comments. There's a lot. You've got to get your imagination going on this. And there's a book out on 300 Things to Do on a Date. Now, I think this is more related to a marriage, but the love of things work otherwise. But creative, think. But you're right. The little things are what they notice the most. You can't do a big thing every month. And they remember the big things, but the little things that. The question, just in summary, is how do you do expressions of courtesy today when things are so vague, things are different than they were back in the 40s, 50s, 60s? But what are things we can do? And particularly when oftentimes the girls don't know how to receive courteous acts. Well, on the opening the door, and she says, hey, I can take care of the door myself. Hey, you know, I would really love to have the privilege of holding the door for you. You might get a response like that, but I can still do it myself. But I think not responding in a he-man way, but rather in a kind way. Because that will happen. I mean, it does happen. But, hey, I just enjoy doing it for you. That's a good point. Yeah. And oftentimes, just asking, would you mind if I did this? Could I do this for you? And so it puts them on they have an opportunity to respond to you on that. What are other things, guys, that you can do? Help me a little bit. I'm a little bit beyond that area right now. Giving them options. Okay. That's good. Very good. What are other courteous things we can do? Did you see what I did today when I came down from the podium? What did I do? Okay, that was a little bit later. Yeah. I picked up Dee's purse, so she didn't have to lean way down there and carry it. And I said to somebody, careful, I might hit you with my purse. Is that you? That's why I remembered it. Just little thoughtful gestures. What are some things? Yeah, okay, yeah, seating at the dinner table. Okay, going and getting a backpack or whatever. Carrying the books. Hey, that's an old. Hey, listen, in many ways, old is better. Those old things, we need to resurrect some of those. Go ahead. Okay, good. Or if the elevator's empty, going on ahead and holding the door or holding the button. Yes. Don't treat her like a guy. Guys, let me just mention this. Along that line, a difference between men and women, males and females, what turns a guy on sexually? What? Appearance, the look, the eyes. What turns on a woman? Touch. Right. And you know what we do? Guys, when I say we, I'm thinking of just males in general. Do you know what we do? We intentionally will do things to turn her on. See, we'll do that touch. And there's that temptation to do that. And guys just say, no, 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 no. Because it will do that. But you'll get you in a troubled situation. What it also may do for you, it may destroy every bit of respect she ever had for you. And it's sin. So guard your heart. Guard your affections. Guard your actions. That's why I say with the touch, it's hard. It's hard to stop that runaway car or wagon, horse, whatever. And that's what the physical relation often becomes. A runaway. It starts off with just a little walk, then a trot, and then if you don't put the brakes on, you know, it's too late. And I've heard over and over and over again, we didn't intend to. When I'm working with a couple who are dating, I ask the hard questions. And I'll say, how is a physical relationship? Well, it's going pretty good. What do you mean, pretty good? Well, you know, we've had some struggles. You've had some struggles like what? And it's as hard as pulling teeth. But I'm good at pulling teeth. And I remember, guys, and don't let this happen to you. I remember with this one guy, he didn't want my counsel, but he was in the LDI. Whether he wanted it or not, I was responsible. And I was going to find out. And he was engaged. And I asked him these questions. And the responses I just gave were what he gave. And he said, well, we've had some struggles. Well, like what? Well, we probably touched where we shouldn't have. I said, like what? And he said, you can't ask me that. I said, well, I did. And he was upset with me. And at that point, I said, look, if I didn't care for you and your gal, I said, I wouldn't ask you. I don't want to know because I want to know. I said, I really love you. I'm concerned for you. And it looks to me like you're headed deep trouble. And they were. And as we talked a little bit further, he realized, I think, that I really did love him. I wasn't trying to put him down. And I said, do you really want help? And he said, yeah, I really do. I said, okay, let's do this. Every time you have a date, let you and I touch base. Let's talk about it. That happened once. You wouldn't hear all that much longer, but he avoided me after that. And see, it's a fool that will turn away from correction or reproof or help. The wise man will seek it. And guys, as long as you have red blood flowing through your veins, you're going to have these problems. At least the temptations are going to be there. And it could happen to any one of you. Anyone. When my wife and I hear about a couple where there's unfaithfulness, we hear about a lot of them. We talk about our own relationship. And many times she or I will say, you know, that could be us, but for the grace of God. We're not immune to that. And we'll talk, what do we need to do? What are the things that we can do in our relating to one another to put a hedge against that? And that's how we talk. And I'll tell her, I say, honey, if you see me doing things that don't look right, tell me. And she does. She's faithful. She knows I want it. So you're not immune, guys. You need that help. You need the accountability of someone. I'd really be surprised if all, what, 30 of you, 35, get to marriage without blowing it. Seriously. I'd be surprised if all of you got there. It's up to you to determine by God's grace it won't be me. By God's grace it won't be me. I will take every step I need to take to avoid it. And after every date, there's going to be someone that asks me the hard questions. And guys, marriage is great. And to marry a gal that you haven't violated, you know, where you've kept pure, it makes marriage tremendous. But to blow it, it's a scar that is there the rest of your marriage. Yes, God forgives, but we don't forget. Make sense? Any other questions?
What's our time factor?
Yeah. How do we deal with ladies, girls, women that are like that? Love. Treat them with respect, even though they don't receive it. And if you continue to do it, it'll have an effect. Now, you may not, they're all over. And they may step on you, they may spit in your face, if not literally, figuratively. Hey, they spit in Jesus' face. The man did. But just to respond with love, respond with thoughtfulness, respond with respect. And they may even ask you sometime if this goes on or it's a continual relationship, I can't believe that you have not gotten upset with me. You haven't gotten angry with me. I can't believe it. If I was in your shoes, I would have probably slapped me in the face. You say, well, I try to respond as I think I should as a follower of Jesus. They may laugh at you. Say, well, if I weren't a believer, if God didn't have some control of my life, I probably would have slapped you in the face. But it's Jesus that makes a difference. Does that make sense? Guys, that's hard. See, that's hard. But I think when I told you that Dee and I lived together for 2 years in the home where we didn't show that interest, hey, that was hard. I have guys here at the Glen and the LDI that, you know, they're not supposed to date, is one of the rules. First, when they're here, when they come here, first 6 months, no dating, no pairing off, no singling out, no nothing. That's one of the hardest things you can give a guy and a gal to do with first interest. Or even a guy which she's not interested, but he is. Hey, I did it for 18 months when I ate at the same table every day. Dee did it for 18 months when she ate the same table as I did every day. Now, hey, I'm not strong in discipline. I really am not. But God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. God is able. See, am I willing? Well, I said that when I lived in the NAF home, I told one guy about my interest in Dee. and I regretted it. Yet I needed accountability. Well, I didn't share it with him before accountability. I shared it with him because I had to share it with somebody. And so I did. Now, if I shared it with someone, if I had that relationship of accountability and I had that confidence, and I could say the relationship, and I shared it there, I wouldn't regret that. So, besides, the NAV staff guy was my accountability. How much time do you spend with a girl when you're dating and interested and still have time for ministry and studies and quiet time and Bible study and all these other things? You know, one thing in that long outline, I think, is capacity. Because what might be good for Jason, you know, he's very disciplined. He's up in the morning. You know, he hits the sack. He gets his sleep. His capacity is really good. And he didn't get too emotionally involved. And maybe he can, you know, spend more time than Alan. Is it? Than Alan can, because Alan tends to just go whole hog in whatever he does. I know it's not true to you guys, but there's some names and personalities in it. Get counsel from someone who's down the road a little bit more from you, and someone that may be discipling you or working with you, or at least would be responsible. And just to ask, how's your walk with the Lord? How are things going? And, you know, you'll find that or maybe push to get things done, but not to get time with Mary. You guys know Mary. But get counsel on that. Interact with people. Again, you know, there's no set law. That's what I like about being a Christian. That's what I like about grace. We're not bound by the law. Common sense. And if you got someone that's asking you the hard questions, that will help you. But if you find that you're always wanting to be with Mary, there might be an unhealthy balance there, out of balance. Again, determine basically what you want to do, whether it's once a week or every other week, or, you know, maybe a day to week, but you see her at Bible study or whatever. When it becomes an everyday, it can get unhealthy pretty quickly. You want that relationship to grow in a natural way and be in control of it. If it goes too fast, it may be like the poplar tree. It grows up fast and it's gone. But if it's solid and a good, healthy growth, it'll be like an oak tree that will last for 50 or 60 years. And the love will be deeper than the physical. Here I was reading, I think it was in Proverbs this morning. It's interesting. No, it wasn't Proverbs either. Probably in the Amplified, but something about when in the love relationship, that when it's right, it's the inner beauty of the woman. That's what it was. The inner beauty of the woman, that goes on and on and on. The outward, you know, a woman is not at 45, 50, she's not quite as beautiful as she was at 25. And at 65 and 70, no. And at 75 and 80, no. But the inner beauty gets better. My mom was in a nursing home, and she had, they said, hardening of the arteries. It probably was Alzheimer's. And I would go home and visit. I lived about 11 hours away. She was in her 80s. Dad was in his 80s. I took Dad over to see her. And Mom didn't know what was going on. And Dad would go over, and she's in the wheelchair, and he put her arm around her and said, "I love you. You're so beautiful." Boy, you know, even to say that now, it just kind of chokes me up a little bit. But when my dad was, say, 86 and 87, to see him do that. They were married 67 years. That did a lot for me. Mom wasn't beautiful, but she was. Her inner beauty. And guys, that's what we want. To help develop that. Help to bring the best out. So work on the dialogue. Work on those little things. Work on bringing the best out of them. And don't be so hung up on the attractiveness physically that you don't see beyond that. I think a lot of marriage breakups are because that was the attraction, was the physical. And they got together, and it didn't take long when the real person came to the surface, and they couldn't get along. But the inner beauty is going to go on and on. And as the song goes, sweeter as the years go by, and it is. For Dee and I, it has been fantastic. And I think God has given us a significant ministry, particularly with couples, young couples, because God has blessed us in that. We've learned some things. We learned the hard way. And we don't want them to learn the hard way. Like I tell them, we'd like for you, in 2 or 3, 4 years of marriage, be where it took us 35 years to get. It doesn't work that way.